One of the next paragraphs in the contract is something we've talked about a little bit before, which when we were discussing inspections, we were talking about you having the duty, if you will, to refer the right kind of inspectors to your clients. So the contract deals with a paragraph called selection of service providers. And it says if the brokers refer buyers or sellers, vendors, product providers, etc., they do not guarantee their work. I can tell you that's probably a ridiculous clause that's in there to try to protect you, but I'm not sure it really will. What you have to do is, in my opinion, make sure that the people you're sending out are qualified and are licensed and are covered by insurance, like we talked about earlier. Some of the agents you hear and even some of the attorneys for companies talk about the way you get around this problem about not being liable is that you give your clients two or three names instead of one. I think that's a great idea, but under that theory, why don't we send them a Yellow Pages and give them 100 roofers to pick from or 100 home inspectors? That doesn't make any sense because you know most of those people aren't qualified and you want the best people. So what I'm going to suggest is that you have your list, and I've always been bothered when agents say, I'm going to send my roofer out or my inspector out. That really troubles me because you really then are being responsible for that, and this paragraph wouldn't protect you under that argument. So what I'm going to suggest is that you do your research up front. You carefully pick your list of people and do give them two or three names. That would help you a little bit, at least if I'm trying to defend you in the trial and one of them messed up. But the real key, if you remember I said, was to find out whether they have errors and omissions insurance. That, in my opinion, if I'm testifying as an expert, is going to be the key point I'm going to make when trying to defend you. One of the issues that comes up sometimes is that buyers get upset when they find out that the information about the sale is going to be public. This is especially important with high-profile clients or high-end people that don't want to know that somebody paid $12 million or maybe they're fighting with the IRS and trying to hide money or whatever. So sometimes you're going to have clients that are upset by this. So I think it's critical to explain to them, and the contract does, that the brokers are authorized to report the sale to the MLS. In fact, as you know, it's a requirement. We can actually get fined if we don't do that. But there is a form that most MLSs provide that if your client doesn't want that information published, you can sign that form and it won't be published. I don't know what happens at the county recorder, and I think that it's always going to show transfer tax. And if anybody can do math, they can back that up and figure out what the property sold for or get pretty close to it. One of the next issues that I think most agents avoid, and it's in the contract, and it's a major, major issue, is the attorney fee clause. In fact, every contract that I know in California has an attorney fee clause, and most good contracts between any kind of business relationship should have an attorney fee clause, because what it basically means is that if we go to some legal proceeding, whether it's an arbitration or a trial, and I win, I not only win whatever I'm winning, maybe the roof gets repaired or whatever the damages might be, but I also get my attorney fees paid. This is very, very dangerous for a client of yours, maybe a seller that's righteous. Have you had one of those that's going to be right no matter what? You're telling them what they ought to be doing and they're going to do it anyway, or I'm going to sue that guy, you know, that kind of thing. Anytime I hear that, I realize they have no clue what they're talking about, because think about it. If we're having a dispute over whether or not a buyer has a right to walk away or whether or not the seller is going to fix the roof, even though he said they'd never had a problem or whatever, whatever the issue is, and he's going to take this to court, first of all, understand that I do this every week. I'm in court, I'm in trial, I'm in deposition. I can tell you the biggest thing most people don't understand is the cost. The average cost of litigation, of taking this all the way through trial, especially if it's a jury trial, is anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 minimum on each side. So if your client wants to fight, are they really going to risk $100,000 of legal fees against a $10,000 problem that they're disputing with someone else? It just doesn't make sense, especially when we have an attorney fee clause in the contract, which means if they lose, they not only have to pay the $10,000, they have to pay their attorney probably close to $100,000, and they have to pay my attorney $100,000. So all of a sudden, this $10,000 problem, if you lose, becomes $210,000. I've actually seen sellers go bankrupt after a lawsuit that they lost because they put it all on the table. You know, it's like going to Vegas and spinning the wheel. They lost it all, and that's craziness. That's why mediation is so important. So I'm going to suggest that anytime a client calls you with a problem, try to get them to not be involved with attorneys until they go through mediation. Then, if they can, settle it, because it's never going to get any cheaper. The thing that's so weird to me is attorneys get paid even when they lose. Think about it. On a trial, every trial, one attorney loses. That's 50%. That's a terrible risk to take, in my opinion. So I just want you to be careful when you're talking with your clients about litigation. Not because it's not a good thing, because that's the way you finally get some kind of justice. But explain to them when they're being adamant and they're not listening and they're going to take this to the court. The attorney fee clause is going to come back and bite them if they lose.